good to be here this morning, this Sunday morning, to worship God, and thank you all for being here. I am a guest speaker this morning. I typically do not do this. Our preacher is out of town, so I was asked to fill in, and I appreciate being asked to fill in this morning for Kent as he travels. I do have some friends visiting this morning, so if you haven't said hello to them yet, please make sure after church to welcome them, as this church is so good about doing. A few years back, while I was living in Mississippi, I was asked one Sunday evening to preach at the congregation I was attending there. And I was having a little bit of difficult figuring out what I was going to preach on, and in preparation for that Sunday evening, I was thinking about it, and I was driving to work one morning, and a song came on the radio, and it was a country song that led me to the sermon that I preached that night, that I ended up preaching about here a few years later, and then I preached to you this morning. It's a song by Rodney Atkins, and I bet when Rodney Atkins was writing this song, he had no idea that I was going to base three sermons off of it. But I want to give you some of the lyrics of the song, and I think that will kind of explain why this song led me to think about this topic, and I promise you I won't sing the song. It was a humbling experience during COVID when I led singing one night because we had so many people out, and quickly after church concluded, Dawson told me never to do that again. So I will not sing again from this pulpit, but I will read you the lyrics of the some of the songs so you understand where we're going to be heading this morning. Driving through town, just my boy and me, with a happy meal in his booster seat, knowing that he couldn't have the toy till his nuggets were gone. A green traffic light turned straight to red. I hit my brakes and mumbled under my breath as fries went a-flying and his orange drink covered his lap. Well, then my four-year-old said a four-letter word, and I was concerned. So I said, "Son, now where do you learn to talk like that?" He said, "I've been watching you, Dad. Ain't that cool? I'm your buckaroo. I want to be like you and eat all my food and grow as tall as you are. We got cowboy boots and camo pants. Yeah, we're just alike. Hey, ain't we, Dad? I want to do everything you do, so I've been watching you." The lyrics to this simple country song about the impact of our actions on others' lives motivated me to think about examples in my life. In my family, we have a running joke. If you're around this much, you might have heard us say, "That's how my daddy did it," or "That's not how my daddy did it." And that's a ode to my granddad, Snow. And if I had a quarter for every time I've heard my mom say, "That's how daddy did it," I would be a rich man this morning. Because, see, it was whether it was about how to prepare and cook meat, or how to treat people, or how to worship the Lord, it was always that's how daddy did it. Well, there's a reason why someone who departed this world almost 20 years ago is still mentioned on a regular basis by my family as an example of how he did it. And the reason why we continue to mention him and look to him as an example is because the characteristics that he set forth before us. So some of those characteristics. As an example, I never heard my granddad say a coarse word or tell a foul joke. As an example, I never saw my granddad lose his temper. As an example, I never saw my granddad take strong drink. He only relied on strong prayer. As an example, I did see my granddad treat people with compassion and with respect. As an example, I did see my granddad love and respect his wife, just like the Bible says that Jesus loves and respects the church. As an example, I did see my granddad put God first before everything else, put the church first before everything else in his life. And that's what led his life. Of course, the Bible gives us great examples and speaks of great examples for us. I would submit, for the purposes of the discussion this morning, that we as Christians should be in constant consideration of who we are using in our own life as an example, and what type of an example we are to the people who are around us. We are instructed in the Bible to imitate those who are good examples for us. If you will, turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. I want to read this verse together. And a few years ago, we read this, and it's a good, it creates a good equation for us that we'll talk about in a second. But here, Paul, in his writing, makes it very clear to those at the Corinth church of who their example should be and why he wrote who their example should be. So starting at verse 1, it says, "Be imitators of me as I am of Timothy." Is that what it says? That's not what it says. "Be imitators of me as I am of Peter." Is that what it says? "Be imitators of me as I am of Christ." That's what Paul wrote to the church in Corinth. This verse will be the basis of our discussion this morning. Be imitators of me, Paul, here writing as an example to the Christians in Corinth, a role model based off of his relationship with Christ, his willingness and his desire to be an imitator of Christ. In math, if you're working out a hard equation and it all kind of comes together, it feels good. I haven't done that in a few years, but I know the feeling. But this is no different than an equation, right? Be imitators of Paul, he says to the church in Corinth, because Paul was in Christ. For me, looking at my granddad, be an imitator of my granddad because he was in Christ. Be imitators of Christians around us because they are in Christ. But it's important for us to understand that we can't change the denominator here. Just like a math problem, Christ has to be the unchanging denominator. And when Christ is the unchanging denominator, the equation works every single time. Turn with me in your Bible to Philippians chapter 3. We'll start there at verse 17. "Brothers, join in imitating me and keep your eye on those who walk according to the example you have in us. For many of whom I have often told you and now I tell you, even with tears, walk as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their end is destruction, their God is their belly, and they glory in their shame, with minds set on earthly things. But our citizenship is in heaven, and from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ." So reading that verse there, should the examples we choose to mold our lives after be those who are ruthless, ambitious, and hungry for the things of the world? Should those be the folks we're looking to be the example in our life? Let's read the verse again. "For many, we're told, walk as enemies of the cross of Christ." Enemies, it says. "Their end is destruction. Their God is their belly, and they glory in their shame, with minds set on earthly things." So here, the world becomes the denominator, not Christ. And when the world becomes the denominator, the equation does not work. I'm sure we've all seen this happen, but I know I have. Have you ever seen someone start hanging out with someone new, and they start picking up the attributes and characteristics of that person? Even sometimes, start telling the same type of jokes and acting like the person. You know, I've seen it happen many times, and I think that's human nature. Human nature to kind of be like the people that we surround ourselves with and imitate those people. So with that, if you think about it, who are you closest to? What does that influence have on the way you act? Is it good, hopefully, or is it bad? Come with me to Hebrews chapter 13. Start there at verse 7. "Remember your leaders, those who spoke to you the word of God. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. Do not be led away by diverse and strange teachings. For it is good for the heart to be strengthened by grace, not by foods which have not benefited those devoted to them. Think about that, how powerful that is to have an example in our life, an example of someone who we are to imitate their faith, and when that person passes on, to be confident of that person's spiritual outcome. That's a great feeling to have. Of those people, we are to imitate. These are the type of examples that were given by Paul and Timothy when they urged the Christians in Philippi to imitate those Christians. These are the examples the Hebrew Christians are instructed to strive to be like. Let's look at the verse again. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. If your example on this earth does not have faith, what are you imitating then? If the person who you look up to or is your example does not have faith, how can you imitate their faith? While it's good for us to be striving also to be imitating folks with good faith and be imitating Christians and be imitating Christ, it's also important for us, equally important for us, to be good examples to others. Turn with me to 1 Timothy 4. We'll look at this verse a few times this morning. And we'll start at verse 12. Command and teach these things. Let no one despise you for your youth, but set the believers an example in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, in purity. Until I come, devote yourself to the public reading of Scripture, to teaching. Do not neglect the gift you have, which was given you by prophecy when the council of elders laid hands on you. But practice these things. Immerse yourself in them so that all may see you and your progress. Keep a close watch on yourself and on the teaching. Persist in this, for by doing so you will save both yourself and your hearers. So if we're to say that last line a different way, by doing so you will save yourself and those you are an example for, right? So such scripture and studying such scripture should cause us to wonder, one, what type of example do I have in my life that's helping me be a better Christian? And two, what kind of example do I set as a Christian in this world? This morning, let's consider these questions closely. First, who is your example? Well, I would submit your example should be Jesus, right? Is Jesus your example? We're told, as we read earlier in 1 Corinthians, that the Lord was a constant example for Paul. Paul told the Christians there, "Be imitators of me as I am of Christ." Likewise, he should be a great example for us as well. Because what better example do we have than God's Son? There are many examples that we are given that we can learn from Jesus. We can learn about his example on how to treat one another. In Romans 13, we're told we are strong. We who are strong have an obligation to bear with the failings of the weak, and not to please ourselves. Each of us pleases his neighbor for his good, to build him up. For Christ did not please himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of those who reproached you fell on me. We can learn from Jesus' example on how to love one another. Ephesians 5, starting in verse 1, therefore be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love, as Christ loved us and gave himself up as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. So think about that right now. If Christ is our example and we're to walk in love, throughout this week, we're all loving people right now as we sit in these pews at church, right? That's an easy task for us to accomplish. But throughout the week, are we viewed as a loving person? If God looks down at us throughout this week, does He look at us in our actions and in our words, and does He say, that's a fragrant offering and sacrifice to me? That's a fragrant offering and sacrifice, the conduct that you're portraying. Jesus' example on how to look out for one another. Philippians chapter 2, starting in verse 3. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourself. Let each of you look not only to his own interest, but also the interest of others. And finally, Jesus' example of how to suffer patiently when mistreated. I think we probably all can learn from this. This is something probably a daily occurrence sometimes we can learn from. In 1 Peter 2, starting in verse 19, and what better example than Jesus on someone on this earth who has been mistreated? When He was going up to the cross, He prayed for the ones who were going to kill Him. His thoughts on the cross were not about Himself. They were about taking care of His mother. What a great example for His siblings to see their brother dying on the cross, their actual brother dying on the cross and saying, please take care of my mother. We read there, for this is a gracious thing. When mindful of God, one endures sorrows while suffering unjustly. For what credit it if, when you sin and are beaten for it, you endure? But if when you do good and suffer for it, you endure, this is a gracious thing in the sight of the God. So when we are enduring pain and hardship, the way that we respond to it then is the way that God judges us on it. It is a gracious thing in the sight of God, we're told. Jesus certainly serves as a great and prime example in our life. If our goal is to find Christian examples to please God, what better example than the one who lived a perfect life, a sinless life? So let's now look at another example in the New Testament, that example of Paul. You know, Paul has an interesting story because before Paul, he was Saul, obviously, and Saul did a lot of things that were bad. Saul hurt a lot of Christians. And then Paul, because of the Lord's divine intervention with Paul, led him to be a great example for the New Testament Christian. It was Paul who said to the Corinthians in chapter 11, be imitators of me as I am of Christ. The reason we need to look so closely at Paul, and the reason Paul was able to stress so much about being an imitator of himself, was Paul was always looking to Christ as his example of the person who he wanted to emulate. If you think about this world, and there's so many in the world and of the world who find examples in unbelievers who allow Satan to be an example, it's hard sometimes. But we just have to remember our foundation for our example always has to be a foundation in faith. We have an example in Christ. We have an example in Paul and other New Testament Christians that we read about. But can we also have examples in Christians around us? Well, the answer obviously is yes. And we need to have examples of other Christians around us. There are many here this morning that provide a constant example for me. These examples help to build me up and hopefully to build you up in your own faith and help push us to be better Christians. Let us once again consider Paul's letter to the Philippians in Philippians 3. Here he's exhorting the Philippians when he writes in verse 17, brothers, join in imitating me and keep your eye on those who walk according to the example you have in us. Similar to those Christians who Paul is urging to emulate there, many Christians today provide the same type of example that we can emulate. So ask yourself, whose example are you following? You are either imitating Christ and Christ's life, or you're imitating Christians who are trying to imitate Christ, or you're imitating someone of the world, someone following Satan. So when you feel yourself picking up characteristics or habits of someone of the world, whatever they may be, remember you aren't really picking up Sally's disrespectful demeanor or Johnny's crude jokes. You're actually picking up traits of Satan, because that's their example, right? You're turning away from God's perfect example. All right, now the harder question, I think, for a lot of us. I know it is for me. What kind of example are you to others? As Christians, we must be mindful of the example that we have on one another. There are two verses I would submit to you this morning. First is 1 Timothy chapter 4, which we have read already, and we'll read again in a second. And then the second is Titus chapter 2. Why don't you go ahead and turn with me to Titus chapter 2, and we'll start there at verse 7. But in 1 Timothy, once again, we read, "Command and teach these things. Let no one despise you for your youth, but set the believers an example in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, and in purity." And then in Titus 2, starting at verse 7, we read, "Show yourself in all respects to be a model for good works, and in your teaching show integrity, dignity, and sound speech that cannot be condemned, so that an opponent may be put to shame, having nothing evil to say about us." So what makes someone a good example, or what makes you a good example? Your conduct, your love, your faith, your purity, your integrity, and your dignity. The Lord here gives a pretty simple and pretty easy roadmap to become a good example. Going back to our opening country song by Rodney Atkins. It's important because that song obviously is about a child who is taking after an adult in their life and learning. So just quickly thinking about the importance that we have, that Christians have, in being a good example, particularly for the young generation, for the youth of our church. I've told this story before, but when Snow Anna was born, you know, we all rushed into the hospital room as soon as they would let us, and it was like a band of paparazzi had entered. I think I've said this before, and everyone's flashing cameras and videotaping and wanting to be the first to hold her. And after all that had kind of calmed down, we stood around her crib while she slept, and everyone there said, "She's the most beautiful baby that's ever been born." And then we started kind of laughing as we heard ourselves saying that out loud. And I'm sure that happens in every family, right? It's the most beautiful baby that's ever been born. But as I've watched Snow Anna grow from a small baby to a toddler to a child, now this week on the eve of her becoming a teenager, you know, you see how fast time flies. I realize the importance of being a good example for her and for Dawson and for all of the youth in this congregation. And as she begins and as others begin to understand more about the world and then more about the Word, it's critical for me and for you and for all of us to understand that a Christian example that she sees and others see, that's helping mold their foundation of faith. Children naturally look up to their parents, right? But they also look up to adults around them. They look up to members of this church where they attend on Sunday mornings. And the example set this morning by many in this church for children, even though you might not realize it as you sit here today, will have a lasting impact on their lives. And think about that. That's you're not doing that much to have such a lasting impact on someone's life. Christians must be mindful of the example that they set on the youth. Turn with me to Matthew 18. We'll read there at verse 6. Whoever receives one such child in my name receives me. But whoever causes one of these little ones who believes in me to sin, it would be better for him to have a great millstone fastened around his neck and to be drowned in the depth of the sea. That's a pretty strong warning that we read there in Matthew from Jesus. Now, these examples that we've talked about this morning, they're all pretty easy, I think, for Christians and for us to understand. You know, at church, we're striving to be a good example. We put on our best clothes. We come here. We sing songs. We're nice to everyone. In front of children, you know, we try to be well-behaved. We want to be good examples. That's pretty easy for us to comprehend, I think. But what about when we're around unbelievers, people in the world? What kind of example then are we setting for them? Let me ask you three questions from an unbeliever standpoint. And you can just imagine that I'm an unbeliever right now and I'm looking at you with no idea where you stand. One, do you walk the talk? Two, do you portray one who is following Christ? And three, are you a good example for the church to be judged by? As Christians, we have to be mindful of the example we're setting in the world. Do people know that you attend church on Sunday morning, or would they be shocked to know that you're here listening to me preach this morning? There's an old saying, you better be the same person on Saturday night that you are on Sunday morning. 1 Peter 2 says, Beloved, I urge you as sojourners and exiles to abstain from the passions of the flesh, which wage war against your soul. Keep your conduct among the Gentiles honorable, so that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day of visitation. Whether we want to be or not, or whether we know it or not, we are examples in this world to people. We're examples to the young. We're examples to the young in faith. We're examples to the non-believers. I have a quick test, and we did this a few years ago, but just a self-evaluation test. Just a few questions, and then we'll conclude. One, am I viewed as a faithful Christian? Am I showing the world what it means to be a Christian? Am I showing babes in Christ what maturity means as a disciple? Is my example helping or hindering people? Number two, is my example conducive to church growth? Am I offering a pattern of faithful church attendance? Am I setting a good example of developing one's ability for Christ? Am I providing a worthy model of involvement and service to the Lord and to His church? And three, is my example worthy of imitation? Am I able today to sit down and write a letter to Christians far away and say, be imitators of me as I am in Christ? Paul wrote that letter confidently. Are we able to write the same letter confidently? Would you want a child or a new Christian to follow my example or your example? If everyone followed your example in speech and in conduct and in actions, and Jesus were here sitting here on the front row today, would he be ashamed of that speech or would he be proud of it? Would he be ashamed of that conduct? Or would he be proud of it? Would he be ashamed of those actions? Or would he be proud of it? If everyone in this church followed your example, what type of members would make up this church? I hope those questions and this sermon has prompted some self-evaluation. I know it has for me every time I've talked about this subject. And though written to a young preacher, I encourage you to apply Paul's words to yourself. Keep a close watch on yourself and on the teaching. Persist in this, for by doing so, you will save both yourself and your hearers. In conclusion, let me finish the rest of the lyrics in Mr. Atkins' song. It goes, "We got back home and I went to the barn. I bowed my head and I prayed real hard. Said, Lord, please help me help myself. Then this side of bedtime later that night, turning on my son's Scooby-Doo nightlight, he crawled out of bed and he got down on his knees. He closed his little eyes, folded his little hands, and spoke to God like he was talking to a friend. And I said, son, now where'd you learn to pray like that? He said, I've been watching you, Dad. Ain't that cool?" So this morning, imagine being an example in someone's life that leads them to Christ. That concludes my sermon this morning. If you have the need for the prayers of this congregation, if you have questions about what was taught this morning, or if you want to come forward and be baptized for the remission of your sins, please do so as we stand and as we sing.